Hello, good people. I know you are having a great day. Well, at least I pray that you are having a great day. Welcome to the Cool Sore Podcast. And today we are joined by Dr. Myla Bennett. She is a certified plastic surgeon, but this woman has so much personality, and I just truly loved sitting across from her during our interview. And right after the interview, she actually gave me a facial, the Adira Bella signature facial that they do for their clients. Shout out to Jessica, who actually administered the facial. If you want to see that video, I did post it on the Cool Sore Facebook page, so check that out, okay? Dr. Myla Bennett is a Cool Sore of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, and here she is with Openly Smart, Openly Cool. Enjoy. You know you gotta be a Cool Soror to talk to the Cool Soror herself.
I'm a Cool Soror.
Hey y'all,
I am a Cool Soror of
What's up y'all, I'm a Cool Soror of
Hi, I am a Cool Soror of
Podcast hosted by me, Rashawn Ali. Welcome to the Cool Sore Podcast. Very, very excited to be in the lovely, this place is lovely, Adira Bella. That's where we are. And I'm here with Dr. Myla Bennett, who is a Cool Sore of
Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Hello and welcome to the show. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for having me.
I'm really happy to be in the presence of such, you know, you're so intelligent. You got all these degrees and then this amazing facility. We're going to talk about all of that. You are from Ohio.
Yes, Cleveland.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes, from Cleveland.
Yes. Now, are you a Cavs fan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, I'm a Cavs fan.
I don't believe that. That didn't sound
good. I mean, good. I am. I mean, I'm not like the diehard Cleveland Cavs fan like everybody else.
Right.
But I am like happy when they win and stuff. But I'm not like... like when they were in the championship last year, the first time they, you know, I didn't even know they were in it. Like my mom was like, "Were you watching the game tonight?" I'm like, "What game?" So I'm not like paying attention. But then when I found out they were in it and there was a game, I watched it and I was rooting for them.
Yeah.
But I'm just not. I'm so busy. I don't even pay attention to that stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I'm kind of a mess.
It's fine.
I'm busy, but I root for the Cavs when I know they're, you know, doing stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny. I'm glad we're talking sports. Let's talk sports really quickly. Because you went to Michigan undergrad.
And then
you went to
State.
Ohio State for medical school. Yes. Help me figure
so
this
which
out.
Which one am I there? Do you want to know which one I am? What I am?
I mean, tell me how you split this loyalty.
I'm a Wolverine.
You're Wolverine.
Yeah, I'm a fair weather Buckeye.
Okay.
Yeah, so, if the two of them are playing, I'm secretly rooting for the Wolverines.
Okay.
But if the Buckeyes win, I won, too.
Like, yes.
I win no matter what.
So you kind of don't know.
Yeah,
like...
so when I first went to Ohio State, I would really mess with people there because I would literally walk around campus with, like, I would wear, like, Michigan pants and Ohio State shirt
right.
at the same time.
Oh, my God.
But Ohio State fans are a little more psycho than Michigan
okay,
fans.
Okay, okay.
Like, Michigan fans, they really are only talking about Ohio State the week before the game. Well, Ohio State, year-round, they hate Michigan. Like,
right.
they hate them.
Right.
They would throw stuff at me out of their cars and stuff. Like, they were really crazy.
Really? You know?
But I really would only wear Ohio State. If it said Ohio State on it, it would be like Ohio State medicine. I wouldn't wear Ohio State football.
Okay.
I really never did that. So I would wear Ohio State medical paraphernalia.
Instead of like football.
Yeah, but
okay.
I would have on some Michigan sweatpants with Ohio State
this
medicine
This is so
shirt.
Funny.
Yeah, I just was messing with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What made you choose Michigan in the beginning?
It was a really good, like it was a good school.
Yeah.
It's a really good school. It's ranked high in everything. Like it's in the top five literally in everything. Mm-hmm. So... and it wasn't too far from home, but it was far enough where, like, my mom wouldn't just pop up.
Right.
without announcing herself. And it was a competitive school, so.
Yeah.
I went there.
You went there, and you majored in biology. So have you always been, did you know you always wanted to practice medicine?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I decided to be a doctor in the fourth grade.
Love it.
I decided I wanted to be a plastic surgeon in high school.
Okay.
I was always a nerd. I was a proud nerd my whole life. But I was also always like I was a cheerleader. I was, you know, I was kind of always an eyeball because I didn't fit in either group.
Yeah.
Even though I was openly smart and I was openly cool.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So when people would tease me about being smart, I would come and I've always been just kind of proud of me being different. I didn't care about, I never really cared about fitting in. And so, like, when people would tease me about being smart, like, they would call me Teenage Mutant Nerdle Turtle in middle school.
Nerdle Turtle?
Teenage Mutant Nerdle Turtle. Right. And I would say stuff like, that's all right. Maybe I'll let you sweep my floors one day. Like, I had a comeback. I didn't even really realize that I would actually employ people one day.
Right.
But I kind of was always a little entrepreneur.
Yeah.
When I was in middle school, I did my friend's nail. I remember I was doing my friend's nails for junior prom. I was charging them like $5, and I did their nails for junior prom. And I guess that was my first little business was in middle
school. That's great.
Yeah. But I always just like beauty and pretty stuff. And my mom is a hairstylist.
Okay.
So I grew up in a beauty shop, you know, and my mom was an entrepreneur, you know. So she first, and she worked hard. And, yeah. You know, so she first got her own salon when I was in high school, and I went to school for nails and in high school. So I was like in a private college prep school, which was really hard.
Yeah.
And then I would take the bus from school and go to beauty school. Mm-hmm. And I would be there after from 5 to 9, like I think it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then I'd be there all day Saturday. And when I graduated from there, I worked in the shop, in my mom's shop in the evenings.
Yeah.
And then when I went to college, I kept my customers because I built up a little clientele.
Yeah.
And so when I went off to college, I would come back home every 2 weeks. I would take the Greyhound home.
How long was that? How long was that ride home?
It took forever because it's actually a 3-hour drive.
But it would be like six.
But it was 6 or 7 hours on the bus because I would have to take the bus from Ann Arbor to Detroit, and then it was a layover in the Detroit to Cleveland. So it was like 7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get back to Cleveland like midnight on Friday night, and it was people who would actually get their nails done at midnight on Friday night. I would do
nails. You were making that money.
Yeah, I would do nails from like 12:30 to like 3 o'clock in the morning, go home, take a nap, get up and start again at 8 o'clock, work all day Saturday, and then take the bus back on Sunday and then go to school. And then I would do nails at school in my dorm room, and then 2 weeks later I would come back. So my clients were, you know, I was doing acrylic nails and stuff.
Yeah,
so
that's when that was
big. Fill-ins was every 2 weeks. So yeah. I came every 2 weeks and did nails, and I did that until my last year of college, and I stopped doing nails when I came to med school.
Man.
My mother was so upset. She was like, you need to keep your lights. I'm like, Mommy, I'm not going to be a manicuring doctor.
Right.
It's time to let that one go.
Right.
I'm not doing nails in med school.
Mommy. Yeah.
So.
would you consider yourself to be right and left brain?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I am definitely, I'm a doctor. I'm definitely a surgeon and an artist. Like, I'm meticulous and messy.
Yeah.
And art. Like, it's weird. Like, in the OR, I'm super, everything has to be in its place. I don't, like, some surgeons, certain types of surgical specialties, like, if something's bleeding, they'll let it bleed until they get this thing done. Like, I don't want to see blood. I don't want to see instruments all over the place. I want stuff orderly. But, like, you just saw my office.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my office is junky. You know, like, my bedroom is closed all over the place, but my OR has to be
right
organized, and my, you know, my field, my incisions are perfect. Like, that kind of stuff, I needed to be perfect. This part of the office needs to look like all the details. I'm into the details, and I need stuff to be pretty. I like pretty stuff.
Right.
And I've always been like that. Like, I've always liked, like, really pretty stuff. But then when it comes to details, I notice everything. Like, I'm the first one to see a typo. I can tell if something's crooked. I'll be like my staff, they're like, think I'm crazy.
Right. That's why everything looks so perfect when I walk in here.
That's crooked. It's off.
Right.
That's spelled. Like, I see everything. You know, so I definitely function on both sides of my brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know how to ignore the stuff that don't, like, matter, or get somebody else to deal with it with certain details. But
yeah.
Yeah. I'm a left and right brain.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I love it. That's fantastic. My daughter is just like that. I talk about her all the time, but like she's the star in the school play, but then she's head of the robotics team.
Right.
But then she will create the t-shirt for the robotics team.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. That's like, me.
Yeah.
That's
so me. Maybe she'll be a doctor one day.
Yeah. I was like on the math, like I was in math competitions, but then I was a dancer.
Yeah.
You know, cheerleader. Like, I did sculpting. It was like I was really good with geometry.
Uh huh.
And plastic surgery is nothing but geometry.
Really? How?
Totally.
Okay, so,
geometry.
Okay, let's, ooh, this is good. I'm so excited to be here. So you said in high school you got the urge that you wanted to go into plastic surgery. What was it? Did you see some show, like, Botched or something
that? No, there was no Botched.
There was no Botched then. But something similar, was it? Or
I
what'd
saw
you see?
A special, it was like a, it might have been like an infomercial type thing. It was I saw something on television where some surgeons went to a third world country and they were repairing cleft lips and palates.
Okay.
And I thought it was magic.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you see the before and then the after of a cleft lip repair, I've always liked to do things that other people can't do.
Okay.
And I was like, that's magic. I like to do things that are seemingly impossible.
Ooh, nice.
That in everything I do, if you pay attention, I always pick stuff that seems like you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody says you can't do it, then I have to.
Right.
And when I saw those images of those children going from you know, what they look like with the cleft lip to what they look like after it was repaired, I was like, I want to do that. That's magic.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I don't do that aspect of plastic surgery now, but that's what drew me to it. But it's really it's the most amazing combination of art and science. And what I love about it is even when you do the same operation, I can do the same operation on 10 people in a row, and it's a different operation on 10 people in a row.
Wow.
Because you're starting with different stuff on everybody. You have a different canvas every time.
Right.
So
and that fascinates you.
I love it. And so, you know what irritates me since I moved to Atlanta? People love to try to paint you in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll say, well, what do you specialize? Like, what's your specialty in plastic surgery? Like, what do you do? And what's your one thing that you do?
Yeah.
I don't do one thing, and you're not about to make me do one thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is make women feel good about themselves after life happens and babies.
Right.
Which is it's tummy tucks, it's liposuction, is keeping their face fabulous. You're not about to make me say I only do boobs. I'm not saying that.
Uh-huh.
That's not fun to do the same thing over and over again every day. That's called being a robot.
I love it. She keeps it so real.
Why do I have to pick one thing because you
don't
said so? I'm not.
Right.
Right.
Where do you get that drive that you have, that nobody can tell me no attitude?
I don't know. It was always in me. Like, I don't know where that came. God?
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. He designed me like that.
Yeah.
When people tell me I can't, then I have to.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, a lot of people
I have to do it.
Because you said
I probably wouldn't have become a doctor unless all these folks told me to do something. All these people told me to do something else. Every time my little poor black girl mouth said doctor,
mm-hmm.
and they told me be a social worker, a nurse, this or that. I was like, so the times when I got scared, tired, discouraged, I thought about all those folks who told me everything else I should be.
Right.
I was like, well, I have to, because I have to show them that they were wrong.
Yeah. So, and you've done
thanks,
y'all. As we sit in this amazing facility.
Well, people told me not to do this too.
Yeah. Where did you come up with first of all, what does Adira Bella stand for?
Pretty, pretty.
Pretty. I should know that.
Both words mean pretty.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when did this all come into fruition? From the idea to the building.
So so it's interesting. When I graduated from residency, when I think back on it, it really started stirring in me while I was a resident, and I didn't realize the stuff that was stirring inside of me. And now that I'm in this space of trying to help people realize their be brave enough to do what they really want to do,
mm-hmm.
I'm understanding some of the stuff that I was feeling before.
Okay.
So I remember when in residency, I love surgery. I love plastic surgery. I love what I do. But I also recognized while I was in training that I didn't love doing it all day long, every single day.
Okay.
Except I didn't feel comfortable saying it because everybody around me seemed to love doing it all day long, every single day. And plastic surgery is an extremely competitive specialty to get into. And I almost felt like ungrateful feeling the way I felt.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't say anything, but that's how I felt. Like I hated getting to work at 5 o'clock in the morning and coming home at 11 or 12 o'clock at night, only to go back at 5 a.m.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and working sometimes 4 weeks straight with no day off, like no day, like four
Zero.
Straight weeks with working the weekends and everything. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. So, you didn't want that. You didn't want that type
no.
of life.
So then when I graduated and got a job and I was, and during all that time, you're poor. Okay. But you're a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother-in-law he's a thoracic surgeon in
right.
in Chicago.
So you're broke.
I get it.
So then I graduate and I went on, got my first job, and I was underpaid and didn't realize it. But since I was broke my whole life, I thought I was making a lot of money, which, I mean, you know, for a regular person, it was a lot of money, but it wasn't for a surgeon.
Yeah.
And certainly not for a plastic surgeon. So I was happy for about 6 months.
Uh-huh.
And then I just felt like I had blinged out chains on. I still felt like I was in shackles.
Man.
So I started feeling, I was pulling up to work, and I got to the point where I was doing the bare minimum. Like, I did what I needed to do to fulfill my obligations to my contract, and it was like I wasn't fulfilled again. So I started thinking about, you know, stepping out on my own.
And where were you at this point?
In Richmond, Indiana.
You're in Richmond, Indiana. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I started thinking about stepping out on my own. Me and my husband started thinking about where we would go. I knew I wanted to do something more than just plastic surgery. I wanted to be on television. I wanted to take care of the faces of influential women, people who use their faces for their business.
Right.
And so I was like, you know, I didn't want to go to California because it was too far away from my family. Like, I didn't want to be like a 6-hour flight away from my family. So I'm like, okay, you know, Atlanta, Charlotte, whatever, you know. So I started coming and visiting Atlanta and decided, okay, maybe Atlanta. We started meeting with an accountant to make a business plan. And I remember when I sat down with the accountant the first time and he was, you know, just kind of getting in my head, trying to figure out what we were trying to do. And I said to him, I want plastic surgery to be a hobby. And he looked at me like I was crazy.
Mm.
Like, huh? I was like, I want it to be a hobby. I don't really, ultimately, like, I know when I start that it'll be how I, you know, pay my bills.
Right.
But I want to get to the point where it's what I do it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And he could not even fathom.
He couldn't
grasp
that.
So then I stopped saying it to people, but I knew I wanted to do more. I knew it was more inside of me. I knew I had more to give people than liposuction, even though I loved snatching up a weight.
Right.
But I knew it was, I didn't know what it was that I was supposed to be giving, but I knew it was something more in there. So, we did all the business plan stuff. We started trying to get loans to try to move or whatever, and I couldn't get any funding.
Mm-hmm.
So I got scared and I was like, I'm just gonna stay. And so right before my contract, I had to tell whether I was gonna renew my contract or not. My family was victim of a hate crime in Indiana.
Oh no.
So someone blew my husband's truck up in our yard and wrote "Move Nigger, Dr. KKK" and red spray paint across the garage doors.
Oh my God.
So I had to leave.
Right.
So I left and I didn't have a loan. I didn't know. We ran. Like, literally, we moved in the middle of the night and put our stuff in storage and was staying in the La Quinta Inn in Roswell.
Man.
Yeah. And I was like, we were like scurrying, trying to get a loan, scurrying, trying to figure out where we would put the practice. You know, I just took all, like, liquidated my retirement and, like, literally, I just jumped.
Yeah. Yeah. At that point.
I had no idea. And I got job offers for like $500,000 a year, and nothing inside of me was inspired to take them.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't have
anything at that point. Yeah.
I was like, somebody will be blowing a truck up in the driveway somewhere else, because part of the reason was that I didn't fit and I was trying to do extraordinary things in an ordinary place.
Huh.
So it was, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It was going to be the same. I wasn't happy. It was going to be the same shackles somewhere else. So I just trusted in God and just came here and just hit and just ran.
And ran.
I was like, look, fear, you can handle fear two ways. You can hide in a closet and don't let the boogeyman find you. Hope the boogeyman don't find you. Or you can run and keep him from catching you.
Right.
So I decided to run.
Yes.
Because at least when you're running, you're moving.
You
forward.
Are. Yeah.
When you sit in a closet shivering and shaking, you're sitting still.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran.
Yeah.
So I'm still running, honey.
I hear you.
So
I hear you.
That was June of 2015. We moved here June 1st, 2015. We got the loan in September, got this space in September, opened January 11th of 2016. In the interim, while this was being built out, I got a little bitty Regis office. It was 150 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
I opened that up the end of September. And I'm just so that when I was moving around Atlanta, going to events, trying to meet people and get my name out there, I could take people. If they, when I say I'm a plastic surgeon and that I do, well, actually I was telling, I was really, I led with skin on purpose.
Okay.
Because I knew that people would be leery about aligning with a plastic surgeon because they wouldn't want people to assume they got plastic surgery.
Right, of course.
So I'm like, if I'm saying I want to take care of these celebrity women's faces, but if everybody knows I'm a plastic surgeon, they're going to be scared to say
mm-hmm.
that they know me.
Yeah.
So I only talked about skin when I first got here.
Okay.
To the point where people still think I'm a dermatologist. Tamar just did a post for me a few weeks ago. It was like, Dr. Miley is the best dermatologist in all. I was like Tamar, no. I'm a plastic surgeon, child. Thanks, Tamar, but right. I'm a plastic surgeon. People think I'm a dermatologist because I had such, but that was intentional because I didn't want people to be afraid to align with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I had a 125 square foot office. My husband painted those walls white, put my logo up on the wall, got me some cute white furniture and made it look all serene and peaceful and pretty.
Right.
And my very first client in there was Ashley Graham.
I love it. I saw the Periscope you did with her. It was great. Yeah.
So I just, and then I
she's
just,
awesome, by the
she
way.
She is the best. Yes. She's yeah. She has a wonderful, I didn't, you know, she's awesome.
Yeah.
She didn't, she just wanted to support, you know what I mean? She believed in what I was doing and she just wanted to support.
That's awesome.
So I just went all in and I wasn't afraid to invest in myself. I wasn't afraid to invest in the things that I needed to push my movement forward. So all the stuff that people said, you can't afford to do this, you can't afford to do that, I felt like I can't afford not to do these things. That's the only way to get my business out there, get myself out there, get my message out there. I think a lot of times people fail because they won't invest in the things they need to get it out there. Like, it costs money to do things.
Yeah, you got to spend money to make
money.
Right.
Nobody's going to, it's commerce. They always think, people think they're giving people something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you find the right people and invest in the right stuff. Don't always be trying to look for the cheapest thing. Like, I didn't look for the least expensive in anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look for excellence. I look for results, you know, and here I am.
Yeah. And this beautiful facility, and because you took the leap, we're sitting mm-hmm. here today, mm-hmm. and I'm really excited for you, and excited for what the future has in store for here and for you, Adira Bella. I love that. So, what all do you do? I know you focus on skin, but you are a plastic surgeon.
I am a plastic surgeon.
Yes. So tell me what you do. The lipos you do, and you. I saw one of your interviews that you did with
Sculpture. Yeah. Yes.
What exactly is that? That's the least invasive. I did. Yes. See, look at me. I did my homework.
I always start with the least invasive thing I can do to make a person smile.
Right.
So you might come in and be like, I need blah, 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 blah. But if I can, my next question to the person is going to be, what are you trying to do? Like, what bothers you?
Right.
Because people will usually come in and ask for a service. And And my question is, what bothers you?
Okay.
Sculpture is a non-surgical fat reduction technology. So it's a laser that kills fat cells.
Okay.
Over the course of 3 months after the treatment, you shrink in the area that the laser is applied.
Okay.
It takes 25 minutes to treat an area. Two consecutive treatments, 4 weeks apart is what's recommended mm-hmm. to get the maximum result. It's not for a fat person trying to get skinny. It's for a fit person in a, you know, at a good size, a healthy size.
Okay.
Who has an area that's stubborn.
Got you.
So don't come in here if you 250 pounds and 5'3".
How much you want some Sculpture?
Talk about Sculpture my whole body. Like, don't even call. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's not what it's for.
Right.
And that if you do come in here for that, it's going to cost you probably about $200,000 worth of Sculpture to get to where you're trying to
And you're not trying to do that. Exactly. Like, you
ain't nobody trying to do. Ain't nobody got time for that. So don't call here like that now.
Right.
I tell
and so
people,
clearly you keep it real with your patients.
I tell people no all the time.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. I move with integrity always.
Yes.
Yeah. So Sculpture is the least invasive modality I have for getting rid of fat. And then there's liposuction. And then I do tummy tucks. I do skin tightening treatments.
Mm-hmm.
There's non-surgical ways to tighten skin. It's called radiofrequency skin tightening that I offer here. I have treatments for like stretch marks.
Oh, okay.
Microneedling is one of the common ways I use to treat stretch marks. I have laser treatments for laser hair removal, laser for stretch marks, laser for tightening, all that stuff. Then I do breast surgery, augmentation, breast lifts. I do for the face. Now the face, I'm really conservative with surgery.
Okay.
I also am very conservative with Botox and fillers on the face. Okay. The way I do the face, I don't really know anybody who does the face the way I do the face.
Okay. What sets you apart?
Everybody likes to shove injectables in people's faces, and I am very conservative with injectables.
Okay.
I will do it, but usually that's not first.
Well, what do? You try to eliminate them?
I feel like healthy skin is what makes you look young.
Okay.
There's nothing in my face.
You look great.
Thank you.
You work hard on your skin.
I do. So there's no Botox or filler in my face, and I'm pushing 40. I'm 39. And I used to get Botox. I started getting Botox when I was 28, and I stopped when I was 33.
What made you stop?
Because I went into practice, and I was alone. I didn't have anybody to inject me. I tried to inject myself. It hurt too bad to do it to myself. And then Botox was dribbling down my forehead.
Right.
And I was like, that ain't working. And so then I started trying other things to get the lines out of my forehead because I couldn't inject myself.
Okay.
So that's how it started, me coming up with other ways to make the lines go away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's, you know, coming up with other ways to make the lines go away. And then it was like, this is better. Because when you think about it, it makes more sense. My 3-year-old, his face moves.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So making your face frozen doesn't make you look younger. It makes you look like a frozen old person.
Right.
Like, everybody's just drinking the Kool-Aid and ain't nobody thinking about the flavor of the Kool-Aid. Why are you going to paralyze your face? That's what stroke patients have, paralyzed faces. Like, why are we making our faces frozen?
Right.
That's not useful.
Even if it's just in a certain area?
Why? What area on a 12-year-old's face is frozen?
Not none.
Exactly. So how is that youthful?
Okay. I mean, I'm listening, doctor.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you think about it, so I didn't think about it before. I just did what I was taught.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I was forced, God dropped me in a place where I didn't have nobody to inject me so that I would start thinking and using my brain. You know, when you get in an uncomfortable situation, you get creative,
yes,
right?
Yes, you do.
So then I started thinking, like, why am I doing this anyway? Botox does not make you look younger.
So what did you do to stop the wrinkles?
I started taking care of my skin. Mm. I had to. So my skincare regimen, I already was using skincare, like medical grade skincare. Then I started I started microneedling my face a lot. Then I started.
What is microneedling?
So microneedling is this device that has like 12 little 33 gauge needles in. I think they're 33 gauge, really fine needles.
Uh-huh.
And when you turn the pin on, they go up and down real fast, and then you just glide it across your skin, and they poke holes in your skin. And everywhere there's a hole, it incites your body to bring in collagen producing cells, and they lay collagen in there.
Wow.
So it fills in wrinkles, it makes your pores smaller. It literally boosts the metabolism in your skin and makes your skin act like young people's skin.
It rejuvenates it. Like,
yes. So the lines that I had here that sparked me to get Botox, and the crow's feet I had that made me get Botox here, they stop. I don't have them.
You don't.
And I move.
Let me see. That
looks
fantastic.
Everything on my face moves. Yeah. So I actually look younger now than I did then.
Yeah.
Like, because young people move. So if you're trying to look youthful, you want glowing, healthy skin, mm-hmm. and you want to move because young people, we're trying to emulate what an 18-year-old or a 16-year-old skin is doing.
Right.
So just putting a bunch of stuff in your face doesn't make you look younger. Then when you start putting all those fillers in people's faces, it moves different.
Mm-hmm.
And when you paralyze, when you put Botox in, even if you just do it in one area, it makes the other muscles move differently because they're trying to compensate for the fact that this one's not moving.
Okay.
It makes stuff move different. It makes you look messed with.
Right.
You don't want to look messed with. You want to look like nothing happened. A lot of stuff happens on my face. I do stuff a lot to my face, except it doesn't look like it. You should look untouched. But you don't have to be untouched.
Right. But you still, like, if a patient says, Dr. Myla, I really want Botox here, or would you?
I will. Like,
But you always give the alternative.
what happens if a person comes into me for the first time and it's for Botox, I would say 90% of the time they leave with a skincare regimen.
Okay.
I teach. So when I teach, they rarely will say, "Ooh, I really, really want that Botox." They usually will get them to allow me, because usually the reason a person is getting Botox is because they want to look younger and look like they looked 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So when they look in my face and then I show them pictures of me before and now, and they see that I'm actually aging backwards, they trust me and they want me to do that for them.
Love it.
So then I'm like, give me 3 months. And then if you still need Botox, we can do it, but you'll need less. You won't have to get it as often. You'll be looking better. Like, and they're like, okay. And then they get products. And then they start getting needled, and some of them will get a little Botox, and they definitely get it less often, and they need less of it.
Right.
And you know, we're not paralyzing them; we're just softening stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different approach. So, and then if I get a person who's just like, "No, I want my Botox," like if they're that lady, she ain't. That's not my client.
Okay.
Like that type of person, I don't really even want them here.
Okay.
Cause I don't want to put that out in the streets saying I go to Adarabella and Dr. Myla did my face and they're walking around looking crazy.
Right. Because your patients are a walking billboard.
I don't need that out there in the streets with my name on it.
I love you. Yeah. Yes, you do need a TV show.
But I do tell people, I turn stuff down that's not, and I don't do certain things. There's like that, like the Brazilian butt lift. Like I don't do that surgery.
Okay. Thank you. I was going to thank you for the butt thing. Because I wanted to segue into that.
Surgery.
Good. So, with these women doing this with their bodies, has there been enough research on those things that are in their butts? And what's going to happen when they're 70?
Their butts are going to be behind their kneecaps. Because some of the folks who started this whole thing, their butts are on the back of their thighs already. And gravity.
Yes. It's not going to be good.
It's not good now.
It's not. It's so, I don't like it.
Me neither. And the men seem to not like it too much either.
They don't. They're like, because they don't know, like, who's real and who's fake. Right.
No, you know who's
you
fake.
Know now, yeah, because people
so
are
ridiculous.
Just, it's out of control.
It's so bad.
I'm glad you don't do that. But do you do any type of, like,
gluteal
fat transfer?
I don't do fat transfer.
Okay.
I used to before it got crazy, but now I just don't want any parts of it.
Okay.
So, when people call here and ask about that, I have spoken out so much about it that people don't call and ask about it that much because people pretty much know that I ain't checking for that surgery.
Right. Not doing it.
That's just not my cup of tea. That's not my client base. My client base tends to be entrepreneur, women, moms, God-fearing, you know,
you attract what you are.
I attract or CEOs, like, you know, it's like there is women who that body type is not necessarily, you know, something that is conducive to what they do. You know, it's mm-hmm. just not, that's not my client base.
Right. So. Really quickly before we go into the next phase of the interview, when you do the liposuction and people like that and tummy tuck, a lot of times, I guess people don't understand that you have to work out and stuff to keep that in line.
See, like, and that's the thing. My clients, they do work out. Okay. Usually when I'm like, you can't work out for 3 weeks, like, what? So I don't really have, see, it's a certain mentality. I'm less healthy than my clients because my clients work out.
Right.
They usually like, what do you mean I can't work? Well, can I just walk?
Right.
Like so it's not, my clients aren't that.
Fix me up. And
yeah,
then
they're not, that's not my client. That's not the people who come to me
okay.
that are drawn to me.
Okay.
But there are people like that. But that's not who tends to come to me.
Okay.
But it's a boost. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes you just need a boost. You know what I mean? Or sometimes you've seen that girl on the beach that is skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's got
the little flanks. Yeah.
Or she's skinny, but her belly still has like
skinny fat.
They're
skinny fat people.
It's never leaving.
Right.
That's just where her fat wants to land. That's the way she, like some people have
areas.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's for.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So it's nothing. And I don't think anything's wrong with it. I like do it for a living.
Right.
But when people turn it into, when people get addicted to it or use it in a way, sometimes people use, it's like they get a high off of mm-hmm. getting the surgery, and they'll be happy for like 2 or 3 months, and then all of a sudden they're looking at all these pictures on Instagram, and this girl's waist is smaller than theirs, so now I need to go get another round. Like, that's the unhealthy thing. Gotcha. That I'm trying to stop.
Yeah,
you know, that's kind of why I speak about these things so much. That's why I started the Pretty Challenge, to try to make people start looking more inside and understand that, yes, I love pretty stuff. I love to be pretty. I think we all are more productive in the world in our interactions when we feel pretty, you know, when we feel good about the way that we look. But I also understand that the most powerful thing about me is not my face.
Right.
But I will use this face and these lashes to move the stuff on the inside forward. You know, if you let this stuff on the inside, this brain and all, you know, to push that stuff forward, I will use that. But I want women to focus a lot more on the inside than they do just on these outer things.
How can they be a part? How can the listeners be a part of the Pretty Challenge?
The Pretty Challenge, all you have to do is make a video and talk about what makes you pretty on the inside. Just say, I'm pretty because, and talk about something about you that's awesome, that's not physical.
Oh, I love it.
And then challenge 2 or 3 of your friends, call them out by name, the way they did in the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
Call out 2 or 3 people and to say why they're pretty too.
And using the hashtag?
Use the hashtag The Pretty Challenge.
Love it.
Yep.
Yeah. And when did you kick that off?
It's been about 4 weeks, I think.
Okay.
3 or 4 weeks.
And you're doing it for 90 days? How long are you doing it for?
Forever.
You're just doing it forever. It has no end date.
We just need folks to do it. And the other hashtag I've been using with it is 1 million pretty women, 1 million pretty girls. I want, you know, the people who have done it so far, my favorite ones have been the girls.
Yeah. Because when you can figure out that you're beautiful inside that
young.
The
girls.
Yeah.
The girls get it. The little girls have had the best videos. Like, their videos have been awesome. Because they're not... I really want women to get back to the stuff we had in us when we were girls and just not lose it in the first place.
Yes.
You know, if we start paying attention to that stuff, then we can keep our girls from ever getting to where women get to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because women, we get scared. Society like stamps out all of our ambition. They stamp out our pride. They stamp it out of us. They like extinguish it. They literally like try to extinguish out all the good stuff we have inside of us and make us feel insecure about everything. And this is why we start thinking our waistline is what makes us special. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, and the little girls, they're like, I'm smart and I'm funny and I'm a boss, you know. And but a lot of the women, they were saying stuff like, I'm, you know, talking about just all the they didn't really have like a lot of, they weren't saying stuff like I'm smart.
Right.
Or I'm funny. You know, they were like, I was bouncing back from tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not, tell me what's good about you. Like we all have tragedies. And it's great that you can bounce back, but at your core, like what's good about you?
Yeah.
Like you're talking about your tragedy. Like we don't even know how to talk about what's good about us.
Yeah.
So the girls actually can be an example to the women about being able to even express what's pretty about you on the inside.
Because
the women have been having a hard time with it.
Good. They need to take note from...
Watch the little girls.
Take note of how we used to be.
Yes.
And get back to that.
Yes.
And that is the goal of this.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. In 2005, you became a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority,
yes,
Incorporated, the Alpha Sigma Omega chapter.
Yes.
Did Alpha Kappa Alpha choose you, or did you choose Alpha Kappa Alpha?
I think we chose each other.
Okay.
I chose Alpha Kappa Alpha when I was... it wasn't my mom's beauty shop. It was one of the first shops she worked in. And I remember this lady walked in with her fur coat on. She had on a fur coat? Yeah. But it was raining. So she had an umbrella too. And it was a pink and green umbrella. She was fly as heck. That's all I remember. And she had some keys, and it was a Mercedes-Benz key. And I was like, she is fly.
Who
right?
is that?
Yes. And I'm like, what's that? And, you know, she was like, oh, that's my sorority. And from that moment on, I wanted to be just like her, and I wanted to be in that sorority.
Wow.
And when I went to college, they got suspended off the campus, like literally 4 days after I came on campus, and they never came back, ever.
Wow.
So I finally got to do it when I was in medical school. And
wow, how'd you juggle that? Doing that?
It was not fun.
I'm sure.
It was hard. Yeah. And so I finally got to do it then. When the opportunity came, I, you know.
Love it.
I think they chose me because, you know, I mean, look at me. I'm the bomb. It was a win-win.
It was a win-win.
Yes.
I love it.
We chose each other.
Yes.
So there was no, I didn't there was no other, when I couldn't do it in undergrad, I wasn't about to do anything else.
Right.
Like there was nothing else to do. So.
Right. You're so funny.
There was no other option.
I love you. You keep it 100% real. And I think that's why you are as successful as you are. What is your definition of cool?
Cool is being authentic, being vulnerable, not needing to be perfect.
Yeah.
Really, that's
yeah, and that's you.
Yeah, you don't have to be perfect. I think that's what makes people be drawn. Like, I don't care. Cool is not worried about acceptance. I don't care about anybody's approval. I'm not waiting on anybody to pick me. I will pick myself. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. That's what's cool to me. Like, I don't. And when people are standing there waiting on somebody to choose them or give them permission, you know, that's not cool to me.
Yeah. Yeah. How can people find you and stay in touch with you and maybe get a consultation and all of that good stuff?
They can find me on all my social media platforms. This is Dr. Myla. My office is Adarabella, E-D-E-R-R-A-B-E-L-L-A. My website is www.adarabella.com.
And all of that is beautiful. Everything she's saying is beautiful.
Just
I'm telling
pretty
you.
Pretty stuff, honey.
Yes, pretty. Yes.
Also, I'm having a conference on July 15th.
Really?
Yes. It's a one-day business and empowerment conference. Uh-huh. And I'll teach you all the things you need to know about getting your business started. If you started a business, getting it moving forward. Talk about branding and strategy and all that kind of stuff. It's at the Country Club of the South.
Okay.
You know, I don't do fancy stuff. Ain't nobody, you know, fancy, honey. The Country Club, honey. It's a VIP ticket for 8 people. Only 8 people can do the VIP tickets. So I have a few of those left.
Okay.
And it is, to get a ticket for that is www.prettytalktour.com.
I love it.
Yes. So that's one thing I'm really excited about. Yeah. It's my first conference.
Yeah.
So.
Is your family extremely proud of you?
I hope so, honey. Yeah, they are.
Good. I mean, you should be. They should be. I mean,
you've been
from this story that you've told our listeners and me, like you've been a go-getter from the beginning.
I have. I don't know. I just have all these ideas and then I just
do them.
Yeah. Why not? That's what we're here for. Just go.
Right. That's always the constant challenge. Like, you got to just go out there and take a step.
Right.
Take a step. Awesome. Well, Dr. Myla, you are awesome. And
thank
I have
you.
Enjoyed our time together. And please make sure you guys follow her and all of that good stuff. And get a ticket to the conference. Get a consultation. Come on out here.
And take the pretty challenge.
And take the pretty challenge. That's the most important thing.
Yes.
And let's get everybody back to pretty.
Back to pretty.
The way they need to be. Dr. Myla Bennett, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Dr. Myla Bennett of Adarabella Plastic Surgery, and I am a plastic surgeon. I'm a cool soror of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.